Welcome to a brand new episode of the Zootopia Podcast, where three friends come together to do something. I didn't really think this one through.
Apparently we're the Zootopia prayer case.
Yeah, so my name's Zach, and joined with me is the Funhouse one.
Zach.
And the gray one?
I mean, it's just a...
Yeah, you're just wearing a graphic tee. We're all wearing gray, actually, I just realized.
That heavy gray look. Life.
Yeah,
I'm
speaking
of gray,
so we got our school photos done for this coming school year so we can get them on our badges. I'm a different race on my card. Like, the printing and coloring... Well, no, the lighting is fine. It's just the printing on the actual card itself. I look like a different ethnicity, or I look like a freaking putty from Power Rangers. Like, I'm just gray. I mean, I'm either like a weird...
Yeah, the lighting makes you look darker. Almost maybe like an Islander, maybe Samoan.
Yeah, like, I'm always ambiguously brown, but in that one, I'm just like three shades darker.
Or the vindication I had when... Where was it where I had the vindication?
It was when we were helping Jenmu.
Yes. Yeah, Angelica, you definitely do look darker.
Angelica's dad's like, are you Mexican? And I'm just sitting there like, all of high school, vindicated.
We aren't the only ones.
Well, we weren't being racist.
It was really bad.
We were kind of being racist. But...
It was really bad because someone else, I guess I got on like at the middle where, you know, it was sort of the correct colors. But like someone towards the end of the... photo line, like they were just like gray. They looked like a statue. I'm like,
you okay there, buddy?
Weeping angel logic. And yeah, I was sitting there, I'm like standing in line, and then someone's like, I didn't know you wore glasses. I'm like, well, I kind of don't.
Thing.
And then I took them off, and they're like, and then when I got in line to take my photo, it's like, no, you should wear your glasses. I'm like, okay, I got bullied into wearing glasses. Usually the bullies take off your glasses and then punch you.
What is this life?
Yeah. So, first things first, Patrick Stewart is coming to reprise the role of Jean-Luc Picard in a new Star Trek series. There has been no actual further announcements as to what it is, other than this.
He's the one who announced it.
Yeah.
Well, and this isn't like a cameo or like a minimal role. This is straight continuing the life of Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah. So, the one thing I don't want the show. So, here's my Star Trek knowledge. Star Trek 4,
Save the Whales.
Mm-hmm. The three Kelvin films.
I know Undiscovered Country's shit.
That's the one where, that's not where they found God, but. Or was it?
No, I think that is the one they find God.
Okay. But the last one I watched, and the only actual Star Trek series I've watched is Next Gen. So I'm very familiar with Picard. And the one thing I don't want it to be is Jean-Luc Picard Star Trek.
Just him.
Just him. Or he's still the leader of his crew. And then no one else gets character development.
Yeah, I was going to say, you think Will Wheaton returns?
No.
Is Wesley?
God, no.
No, Wesley.
He's the most hated character, and that's why he left
the
show.
Shut up, Wesley.
I think it's going to be, like, the story of realization. Like, he's going to try and be a captain, but he's going to realize the old ways don't work anymore. It's essentially going to be...
Him butting heads with some new up-and-comer.
Yeah, it'll be like the next generation of, like, him realizing...
They're Boruto-ing it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so my friend Dan and I, who he's been on the show, we were coming up with a couple of different titles. So the one thing we don't want is Star Trek Picard. He said Star Trek The Next Generation, also The Final Generation, or The Nemesis Generation, since that was the last appearance of Picard. Hmm. Or it might have been the first. I don't know. Like I said, I saw Next Gen.
It was the last movie he was in, yeah.
Yeah.
In 2002?
And it's going to be part of a CBS. It's going to air. They're going to air it since they have the TV rights.
They're CBS All Access.
Yeah.
So their streaming service.
So they have Discovery and now this one.
Yeah. And because CBS All Access did well on Discovery, which is going to air again next year, it's kind of interesting to see them come in full front into it.
Yeah, they're definitely utilizing what they have. I mean, from what I heard, Discovery was super well received, so.
Yeah, and was it Discovery takes place before like the actual Star Trek, right?
No.
No.
Or is it at the beginning of the 5-year timeline?
I think it's after Next Generations, actually.
I'm talking out of my ass here.
I am too.
I have no idea.
I know it's not, I don't believe it's before the first one, because they were kind of the ones that set off the like deeper exploration into space.
In space.
Do Star Trek Discovery.
Oh yeah, that's an actual timeline. I don't want that.
Okay, I was wrong. I was talking out of my ass. It is set roughly 10 years before the events of Star Trek, the original series.
Okay.
The show sees the United Klingon houses in a war with the United Federation of Planets that involves the crew of the USS Discovery. So I guess it's what leads to everyone hating Klingons.
Okay. I was going to say it leads to like the five-year Discovery plan thing. That, you know.
Space.
These
are the stories of the Star Trek Enterprise. Their mission to build the Go.
Or no man has gone before.
Tribbles.
Just flat silence there.
Tribbles.
It's like space. Can't hear anything.
No one can hear you screaming. No one can hear you scream.
That's where you're wrong. There's poor clone troopers blowing up in the sky.
Yeah, can't hear them scream.
Like I love those videos where it's like if Star Trek or Star Wars were
and it's just real, all silence.
Like it's like, yeah,
because it's all you're hearing is the millisecond of oxygen being in space and then just gone. TIE fighters wouldn't go,
or they would,
but how?
Star Wars.
Yeah, we built a little atmosphere around TIE fighters. Why? So they can make that cool noise when they fly. But what about the pew-pews also generated around each individual laser?
Well, there's the thing that I was reading. It was about, you know, lasers supposed to go faster than the blink of an eye because they're traveling by the speed of light. Yeah. So why is it in Star Wars that they are red, green, blue, whatever, you can see them react to it.
The only reason you can see a laser pointer is it's because it's a constant stream of lasers. Yeah. It's not just one shot and done.
And it's like, well, if we apply the logic to railguns and electromagnetic bolts, and there's probably like some sort of weird space law, or I'm like, or it's a movie and they had to make it interesting. I was
gonna say, if you just saw ships floating around and suddenly explosions, you're like, what the fuck is happening?
I would think it's like some kind of like condensed, it's not actually light, it's just like condensed energy that they're shooting.
Like compact photons or something like that.
It's like how a lightsaber is just the kyber crystal reacting to whatever is going on.
Say, if you were to go with a lightsaber with actual light physics, those suckers would be gigantic. Like, you would turn one on, you'd be slicing through a...
And that's where Palpatine was wrong. Like, if you really think about it, he used a giant kyber crystal to power the Death Star. Why not just make a death tube like the size of a lightsaber and just turn it on?
So that's what the Death Star is.
Cuts the planet in half.
And then
it's a giant laser.
So what you do is you make the giant tube, then you're going to need a giant mech to wield said tube. Next thing you know, we got Gundams.
There we go. We solved it.
We did it.
Do you remember it came in like around the time of Revenge of the Sith, but it was like, I think Hasbro had a deal with Star Wars at the time and they made toys, but it was Transformers.
Yes.
But they were the Star Wars vehicles. Mm-hmm. So you had like a Jedi Starfighter and then it transforms into Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I remember this.
And then they had Darth Maul ship.
I don't know the name.
Fuck it was.
Yeah. It transformed Darth Maul. And then there was one where
Spectre?
Like the mega leader class one was Anakin, and then you could transform him into Darth Vader. And then and then in the Anakin form, his ship was Anakin Starfighter, and Darth Vader's side was a Super Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
Good old early 2000s toys.
Dude, those toys are awesome.
I mean, they're better than when they tried to do like Marvel Transformers. It was like, here's the Hulk. Or no, here's Wolverine. He transforms into a wolf. It's like, all right, close enough. Here's the Hulk. He turns into a T-Rex.
Okay.
But why?
He transforms into a bear.
Not going to lie, though. I had the T-Rex Hulk. I think it's still somewhere in a box in my parents' house.
I don't remember that one.
It was weird. It was like the Hulk, and then like his hands became the T-Rex feet. The head was stored like in his back, and it folded out to where his crotch was. You fold the head back, comes out a tail, and then his feet turned into T-Rex arms.
You ever wonder how those design meetings go? Like, how do they figure out which pieces transform into what? Like, those seem really complicated.
I more want to know the person who pitched that, and then the person said, fuck yes, let's do it. Like,
well, it's
like, all right, hear me out here, hear me out. We got the Hulk. We got a T-Rex. What if we combine them?
See, I more imagine of, like, it's the Hasbro meeting, and they're like, well, shit, all we make is Transformers, but we have the license to Star Wars right now. Now, hear me out. Star Wars Transformers. They're like, oh.
It's like, but how would that work? What if we took their ships and they transformed into the people? See Obi-Wan Kenobi's ship? Obi-Wan Kenobi's on the inside.
It's better than, like, you know, Megatron Gun Blaster or, like, you know, Michael Bay's Transformers where you just buy the toy and that doesn't actually transform.
There's actually a good story behind, like, why Megatron became a gun and... Like, why
is he supposed to be used by Unicron, right? Well,
no. Oh. So, the reason, like, and why there's, like, weird other Transformers, like, one that turns into, like, a microscope and...
Sound wave, the boombox.
Yeah, the boombox, the cassette tape. Transformers is actually three different Japanese properties.
Yeah. Is it really? That
Hasbro got the licenses to.
I don't
and they combine them into one show.
I never knew it was a Japanese property.
Well, that's why, like, the original Transformers, like, yes, is the G1 Transformers, and then you have the G2 series, which features the same characters, but they all look different.
Was there ever a Japanese cartoon, or was that just purely an American thing?
Well, the Japanese cartoons came later. Like, I believe America had the first Transformers cartoon, and then... Japan saw it and like, okay, we have these properties anyway. Let's keep the ball rolling.
They also had Gundam already.
And, well...
They also had Voltron, but we don't care about the first two Voltrons. We only care about the Lion Voltron.
The Lion was actually Voltron 3.
Hmm.
The first Voltron was the weird one where it's like 12 vehicles that combine into one Voltron. The second was like three robots that have different configurations, but we're like, fuck you, give me the Lions.
Do you think that's like season 7 of Voltron is like... They meet another Voltron team, but it's like 7 of them, and they all transform.
Voltron Shattered Grid.
Please. Now that you say it.
Aren't they like close to finishing Voltron, though?
They have, like, two seasons left. We got this one coming out, and then another 12-episode
How
season.
How dare they have a cold, calculated story end and not do it for the money and just phone it in afterwards?
I mean, the way they've been cranking it out, I don't know how... Well, they gotta like slow down a minute.
And at the same time, though, I look at it, and I'm like... Why aren't you making more toys of this? It's like they had one where they had like the evil Voltron, and I'm like, why no toy? I would buy you.
Well, it's like how right now the biggest thing in our culture is buying all the toys from when you are young. Like you either go on eBay or find them, or Hasbro again is remaking all their toys, and it's like, yep, same old legacy.
It's a weird time we live in.
It's like, if anything, it's like, here's some diecast parts. Boom, here's your G1 Megatron.
Yeah, you walk into Target and it's like, look, it's the Flipping Heads Power Rangers, where you click on their belt and then they morph.
Well, that one was still Bandai America.
Yeah.
They did the Legacy brand. Hopefully Hasbro keeps it going, because there's some Legacy Megazords that I want.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Speaking of Power Rangers.
Here we go.
These are quick.
Stop your bitching. Nothing is quick with Power Rangers with you two.
Because it's great. Anyways.
Just embrace it. Embrace the camp.
Tim Tusky has something to say about that later.
IGN was the original people who made this announcement. They have the exclusive. But August marks 25 years of Power Rangers in the United States. And to celebrate, Nickelodeon's airing a special primetime episode of Super Mega Steel. Oh, God.
Super Ninja Steel.
Super Ninja Steel. I had a stroke again.
Is that a good one?
Yes. Okay. It's
that's the current one. Okay. That has our Lord Beater.
Yeah.
Samurai's the bad one, right?
Samurai, Megaforce, Super Megaforce, Super Samurai. Pretty much everything up until Giant O'Charge was just not good. At least the Nickelodeon era.
Okay.
Except for this one. And the episode is going to debut on August 28th at 8 p.m., the same date that the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers premiered 25 years ago on Fox Kids. And this season is going to feature the return of Legendary Rangers, which they coined that term from Megaforce. It's like, the Legendary Rangers.
Now, hold on.
Back.
Before you go further, who do you think is going to show up in this episode? Just one person.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Jason David Frank?
But which version of him?
your best bet is to go with green.
Yeah. Which one's going to make the most money if he comes
back? I was going to say, are they going to pull a Draken or something? But
if only.
I would shit my pants if they did that. Like, suddenly Super Ninja Steel, Shattered Grid.
No. They survived so far. We've seen them in issue 29.
That's right. They show up in the back. For now.
So yeah, Tommy Oliver, played by Jason David Frank, Kat Hillard, played by Catherine Sutherland, and Wes Collins, played by Jason Fonts, return in this first episode.
Apparently there's going to be more that they're going to announce in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, so they said that there's going to be a lot of different Legendary Rangers filtering in, and we have Tommy being the Green Ranger, Wes being his Red Time Force. You would actually like Time Force. Time travel cops. Yeah,
they're cops. Time cops.
And oh, it's God. Like kind of a noir show.
The cheese is just too much.
No, that's when that was in Turbo when they baked them into a pizza.
He's not lying. That actually happened.
And the Pink Ranger, yeah, I know, Kat is going to be her Turbo self
instead of Zio, which is weird. But
yeah, it's like cash grabs. It's like, yeah, Wes was always the Red Ranger. Jason David Frank. It's like, well, last time I was the Green Ranger, but you know, I was also the Black Ranger. Or the White Ranger.
Last time he was the Green Ranger, it was a shit show. And they took a fantastic concept and shat upon it. Just never forget Legendary War.
Just heavily edited that footage.
It could have been so good.
But no.
Fucked it up.
It's like how Inbetweeners, like the American Inbetweeners is hot garbage because they almost wrote it word for word in the script. And then it's like, all right.
It's like, that would not work at all. They are very British.
Yeah, and like they just change the slang, but they don't say any bad words because it aired on MTV.
It's like, no, that's part of what's great about Inbetweeners, that they're calling each other fucking just, twats.
Yeah. Yeah, I like how you struggled for a word. It's like, oh my God, which one's appropriate?
All right, come on. So what does Jay call anyone?
There's a lot.
Buswinka.
There's a lot, and then there's... The translation is not.
Oh, dude, you missed the episode where Jay became human. Like, he fell in love like and a became human.
You watched without me?
But it was the show I started watching on my own.
Yeah, and then I got into it. You got me into it, and then you abandoned me.
We'll watch it again.
It's hurt.
The season, excuse me, my English. The series 2 finale.
You watched the whole series 2 without me?
No, we watched part of series 2 together.
You watched the rest of series 2 without me?
Zach watched it with me.
I am hurt.
I was trying to fight a dragon.
I am shocked. I'm another word that I'm shows called. My disappointment.
You are old friend.
No. You don't get old friend.
Does that should I watch hand, series
should
3
I just
by myself?
Hand you the knife?
Nah.
Just put it in his back first, and then I'll take it out and make another hole.
That's where the knife already is.
Because you're complicit.
Lodged in my back.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's really cool. And in addition to that, there is a Power Rangers Heroes of the Grid board game that's coming out. And it is to accommodate 2 to 5 players. We're 3 people currently.
But how many people are in our board gaming group usually?
5 to 6.
Usually 5 people. Weird. Interesting.
Each game will take about 45 minutes to 60 minutes to play throughout each section. It's a cooperative game that allows players to utilize their martial arts, teamwork, and Zoroids in a fight against fan-favorite enemies like Rita Repulsa, Pudgy Pig, Madame Woe, and Putty Patrollers. The game was designed by Jonathan Ying, who does Star Wars and the Imperial Assault, and the miniatures of the world are based on the art of Go-Go Power Rangers. Dan Moore, who also designed the game box. In addition to that, there are additional things that are kickstarted. So, like, you also get additional figures or the Hyperforce team, which is, like, my primary
Hyperforce
thing.
Is going to be in the Shattered Grid expansion.
Yep. So, that's everything's going to be up on Kickstarter eventually. And, yeah.
That's pretty great.
It will show up around the house.
It's also... This is something I find interesting, like, especially now with, like, the rise of, like, tabletop gaming shows and just, like, tabletop gaming in general.
Tabletop.
Like, it's just, like...
Table cops.
Yes,
they
table cops.
Whoop, whoop.
You break the rules, they handcuff you immediately.
You see this all the time. Like, have you seen the crowd... I linked it in the chat for Jim, the crowdfunded...
The Destiny tabletop
Destiny
RPG.
D&D.
Yeah.
It's like, I kind of want to write a one-shot just for Jim. And, like, just give DMing a try.
I kill myself immediately.
I'm a hunter. I jump off the cliff.
I'm a hunter.
I pull out my golden gun and pop myself in the head.
I revive you. I shoot myself again. Do it. I revive you.
No, stop.
We're not in a darkness zone.
Push him out of the way.
It's like, what's that? We're not in a darkness
hang
zone.
Hang on. Crota one shots you.
Revive.
Oh, wait. I failed 3 times on my throw. Yeah, it's cool. Like, as much as I love video games, there's something else about playing board games that's just relaxing. And just, you know, you get to be a character rather than just go forth
play
and
play a character.
You've played Risk, right?
Yes.
Dice flew at my head.
I was very upset.
Relaxing.
I was very upset.
Relaxing.
That was me who threw the dice.
Yeah, I know.
You fucking invaded me.
You did.
I also threw dice. Well, that's because I was really excited. I'm like, oh! Can't hold my leg.
How'd you roll the dice again? Okay.
Made a wanking motion. Just blew my dice everywhere. Yeah, Risk is great. I can't wait till we play King of Tokyo, which is part cooperative, part competitive. It's going to be great. But yeah, board game culture is super cool. Because, again, as much as I love watching Let's Plays and playing video games, I watched a Let's Play. I'm like, fuck, I want to play Halo again. Started playing Halo again yesterday. I'm like, man, I wish I had some substance. Went back to Octopath. I was like, I want a story just because I was playing Halo multiplayer. But then you get the best of both worlds in a board game.
Hannah Montana?
Yes.
I mean, and then there's D&D, which is a whole different level of, like, immersion if you get into it.
Yeah. If you leave Greg the fuck alone.
Poor Greg.
I was immersed into the game.
Yeah. And you changed your alignment twice. I'm chaotic neutral. I shoot a flaming branch into his tree. Chaotic evil. Now I'm chaotic neutral now.
I was going to help him.
Yeah, after you shot a flaming branch and then changed your alignment back, you're like, no, now I'm chaotic neutral.
I'm sure he had insurance.
Just like trying to
drive. It's not how alignments work. Can't be like, I'm lawful good. Fuck that guy, I'm chaotic evil.
Well, because of being a horse, I can't actually be evil, so.
Which we still haven't gotten to.
Yeah. You know nothing.
Maybe this next session.
One of these days, we'll get to it.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm also trying to get. You notice how I keep trying to just get into freaking Teetles? It's like, what are you? Explain. But he never explains.
I think that's because he, like, downs 3 beers before we play. It's great.
He does speak backwards very well.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I don't know how he does that.
Do you understand that? Oh, fuck. My face on the mic.
I think it's just something he decided to do and rolled with it.
Hey, I'm,
which I'm not going to argue with. Cause it's like, you know what? You do you.
Yeah. So with all these board games, I'm like coming to a point where it's like, I want to buy this game and this game and this game. And I'm like,
I only had time to play all of these.
Yeah. I was gonna say, like, I'm going to have to find new people to play with.
It's like
hurtful.
Well, in addition to you guys.
Well, once Kayla moves in, we'll have an extra person.
Yeah. Then we can always play board games.
And hate each other because board games ruin friendships.
Well, there's some cooperative games, like we can play Pandemic.
Yeah. Which I did realize something beautiful. This year, on my birthday, the new Mario Party gets released.
Oh, no. Oh,
fuck.
Oh,
happy
no.
birthday to me.
When's your birthday again?
October 5th.
Oh, okay.
Happy birthday, let's ruin friendships.
I'm going to mark that down. I had plans.
Hey, man. Don't you worry.
Mark that down. When I started hating my friends.
Hashtag.
He's going to buy his birthday present for me, and it's going to get here on a timely manner just to spite me.
Yeah, when is that?
I don't know.
What is that thing?
Customer support finally contacted me just to say they're sorry for being pieces of shit.
Yeah, I think it was right after the second time you sent an email in. They're like, man, fuck T-Fury. Never order from them again. And I'm slip going through it on Facebook. Like, post from T-Fury. We know our customer service has been shit and we apologize. We've made changes so this doesn't happen again.
Dude, it took them 3 weeks to reply to my first ticket again. They haven't even replied to my second ticket. When I said I want my money back.
It's like, what the hell, man? It's what the hell.
It's been 2 months.
It's been
2 months since I ordered that god damn Cowboy Bebop tank top.
Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken.
Yeah, at this point, it's like...
Would really like
you ordered
too.
A tank and it still hasn't come yet?
I'm so sad now.
Happy birthday! Well, I got you that red hood when you were off in San Francisco.
True. And I appreciate that.
Anyways, moving
Speaking
forward.
Speaking of red hood...
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
so fucking good at segues today.
Inadvertent segue.
So, I realized something today.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was a couple days ago. Red Hood is a name not about his clothing. It's short for Red Hoodlum.
I've never known this.
I was just thought since the original
he wore
had
a
giant
helmet.
Red hood.
Yeah, no, no, no. The original had the giant helmet. He looked like a knockoff Mysterio. He should have been called the Red Helmet then. And then, you know, his gang had, like, red bandana hood masks. And I'm like, but that was when Scott Snyder reinvented it. But it's like, oh, the Red Hoodlum. Okay, that kind of makes some sense. Hmm. I don't know.
But
it was my shower thought.
It doesn't have as much gravitas if you're like, oh, my God, it's the Red Hoodlum. It's like, really? You're afraid of it?
A hoodlum?
Red hoodlum?
Hoodlum's like those darn hoodlums.
It's almost like a rapscallion.
Yeah.
So,
ne'er-do-well.
In Red Hood and the Outlaws, issue 26 by Scott Lobdell, and with art and main cover by Pete Woods, Red Hood has a new design. He has ditched his motorcycle look that he's had since before the New 52. Shout out to you, Judd Winnick's Red Under the Red Hood. He now wears a black t-shirt. Red bandage gloves.
And he has a new icon.
He has a new icon that's like the old Red Hood icon from when Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely did Batman and Robin.
Like where he just kind of spray painted the symbol on his chest?
No, the one when he had the really doofy ass white costume when he teamed up with Scarlet.
That one I don't know about.
I don't know either.
It's just
I'm just more thinking of like even like Arkham Knight where when he became the Red Hood, but that would be a name. He like spray painted the bat symbol on his chest and it like dripped down. And
oh no, it's like two rectangles intersecting almost into a heart with little eyes on the nipples. That's the best way I can explain it.
Okay.
But this one has like bat wings, so it's like really ambiguous about whether or not Red Hood's a good guy or bad guy again.
He still associates with the bat family.
He looks like Scorpion met Nightwing and then they had like a really nice time.
I do find it interesting that he carries the crowbar on his back. Like, that seems very grim for him.
He's so try-hard. He, like, really wants to be Nightwing. It's like, I can't have a scrim of sticks. That's Dick's thing. Katana crowbar. Eastern and Western influences.
I'm not going to lie. I've been really liking the Rebirth Red Hood. I'm worried it's going back to the New 52 Red Hood. I'm like, no. No, you did so well.
I will say he looks like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles villain.
A little bit.
He looks like he belongs to the
Shredder.
Foot Clan.
Yeah.
Like, he's the Shredder's general.
I'm just like, oh.
I kind of dig the look, but at the same time, it's like, but do you need to change it?
Sorry, wait. This. He had actually a red skull on his helmet back during that time. Here it is.
Like, Punisher-esque.
That's adorable.
It's really doofy.
That is super doofy.
Yeah. That's when he still used guns. But this Red Hood
still uses guns.
Doesn't really use guns. He has a crowbar and a katana.
I'd say that's more Wakizashi, maybe.
Well, apparently Frank Quitely, again, this is all like 4chan rumors, not Frank Quitely, but Scott Lobdell was like, all right, I want to reunite all the old outlaws because Starfire's not being used right now other than Justice League Odyssey, which probably intervened that. And it's like, oh, I want to use Roy Harper. Well, Roy is going to be in Sanctuary, and he's most likely going to die. Just saying. Throwing that out there. From all the previews I've seen of Heroes in Crisis, they're like, which of these heroes is going to die? And it's like, well, it's not Harley and Booster because they're accused for the murder, and it's probably not going to be Tim or Cyborg. So probably Kyle and fucking
Don't
Roy.
Kill Kyle. Don't do Kyle. Leave Kyle alone.
Real quick, though, who the fuck wrote this article? Red Hood's final costume. There are also spikes on his arm guards, with Red Hood now wielding a katana and a tire iron.
I mean, yeah.
Motherfucker, that's a crowbar.
That's
not a tire iron. I dare you to try and take off a lug nut on a tire with a crowbar, and you tell me it's a tire iron.
Good point. But yeah, I'm not a fan of the design, and I'm not a fan of what he's doing with the story now. Because I've
he's gonna fight Batman.
Because I liked the Artemis, Bizarro, and Red Hood dynamic. Like, it was a really cool story. And now it seems like it's just kind of going back, reverting on all that. And it's like, you were doing so well.
But he might have revealed Batman's secret identity while killing the Penguin.
Yeah, and that whole thing. I'm like, really? I get that you're upset that your dad died, but you're still not sure. But really? You're going to go and break Batman's rule?
He may have been your father, but he ain't your daddy.
Really? I can't stop looking at him thinking Mortal Kombat or TMNT.
Yeah,
Kombat, TMNT.
I'm just like, come on, what the fuck, man? We had some character development.
You were almost a human.
Can we talk about his cargo pants where the pockets are on his thighs, like the front of his thighs? Has anyone else pointed that out yet? It's a really awkward place for your pockets.
I mean, that's the... Yeah, because I mean, like...
Look how long his arms are. He has to, like, hunch over to get into that pocket.
When I get this out of my pocket, you're in trouble.
Ninja star.
Pocket sand.
Or yeah, it's like...
Did you just throw pocket sand at me?
I'll keep reading the book and see what happens, but... Scott Lobdell, you got me worried. I've seen what happens.
This will last one arc.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, because it does seem like it's a, I need to go undercover for the time being.
That was the first arc.
Well, like even like this, like, Riddle will have to drastically change his approach to crime fighting. It's like, but for how long?
Yeah.
Like, because, yeah.
It depends on what happens in this next issue with him actually fighting Batman.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, everyone got, like...
My guess is I think it's going to be another one of those, oh, he didn't really kill Penguin. It was all...
Yeah, it was all a ruse. And then, well, yeah, it'll be like Batman takes down, quote-unquote, the Red Hood. So this new vigilante shows up. Meanwhile, it's all an undercover ruse.
It's like he has to go deeper.
It's almost like Young Justice where they killed Artemis.
Even though,
spoilers.
It was pretty convincing when it first happened.
Oh, yeah.
You're just what?
But, no. Yeah, then it shows one thing. Like, no, it was all a plan.
The very, very elaborate plan.
I think that was hiatus number 6.
Yeah.
Steve and I were talking about this. I'm like, I lived through every hiatus of Young Justice, and it was painful.
I think that's what made me stop watching it like 3/4 of the way through season 1 was all the hiatuses. I'm like, I didn't even know when it came back. So, oh, fuck, I already missed the season. Season 2 is happening.
Are they releasing the entire season 3? At once, or is it?
I think no one knows.
Yeah. I'm assuming it'll be a week by week if they want to try and get their money's worth out of the service.
In theory, they already have it all done, though.
Also,
right?
If you think about it, a lot of people are like, ugh, DC Universe costs so much. I'm like, dude, it's cheaper than Netflix.
How much is it?
$80 a year.
Do you have to buy the year?
No. You pay month to month, which is a different price, but
yeah, it'll probably be like a little more expensive, and you get like the discount bundle of $80 a year. But you think about it,
and if you pre-order it now, you get 3 months free. 15 months at $80.
I don't know how I feel about pre-ordering subscription services,
but you know what you're getting inside of that subscription.
Sure, but it's like, why? Why do you need my money now?
So you can read 52 and not carry around my massive fucking omnibus. Oh, dude, the freaking omnibus for Gotham Central is on sale right now, and I'm like itchy trigger fingering it. I'm like, oh, Greg Rucka, police procedural in Gotham. Yeah.
That's a lot of good series.
So they give you 3 months free if you pre-order the year?
Yeah, so 15 months.
Yeah, so you're paying $5.33 a month, essentially.
How dare you?
You're just paying it a little upfront to get access to a bunch of comics, a bunch of shows, a bunch of movies, and then new stuff.
Everything
they
surface.
Have announced that Teen Titans seasons 1 through 5 is going to be on the service just
like,
now.
Well, it's like hold
recently.
Up, what the fuck? 1 through 5? You mean you're giving us more than we wanted originally?
Possibly, we don't know. That season 6 might be in the air if Teen Titans Go still does well.
Teen Titans Go to the movies. Oh, that Teen Titans. I you said Young Justice.
No, I said Teen Titans.
You said Teen Titans.
Okay, I definitely heard Young Justice, and I'm like, wait, what? We're getting already 4 and 5 other seasons?
If we do really well and binge the shit out of it. I'm just going to leave it on at work, muted.
Just keep rerunning it over and over.
So you click away from the screen, you know, Joss is on. Click back, like, you saw nothing.
Was that Blue Beetle?
Yes.
Is he making out with Impulse?
Actually.
Maybe. It's the third Blue Beetle, guys. Okay. Let me tell you about Dan Garrett, the original Blue Beetle.
Was that Kid Flash? Well, actually, kids, that was Bart Allen. Yeah. Let me tell you the story of Barry Allen.
And then Wally.
Well, he was actually, he is Kid Flash in season 3, so I wouldn't be that person.
Right, but I mean, like, if you, like, watching season 2 and they see Bart show up and you have to educate them that at that point he was not Kid Flash. He was still Impulse.
Well, I mean, I'm like the person that like defends Damian being my favorite Robin. And they're like, well, why don't you just say Robin's your favorite? I'm like, because there's a bunch of them.
Which version of Robin do you want here?
Speaking of Robin, like as upset as you are about Red Hood, I'm really upset at Teen Titans. So Adam Glass took over.
The book.
Okay. Yeah, the book. And Adam Glass took over writing duties after No Justice. And in the Teen Titans special, it's like, we gotta go do things our way. And after Black Mask kills a family of immigrants at Damian's favorite pastry shop.
Son of a bitch.
That's a weird sentence right there.
Yeah. I just wanted to get my strudel.
Well, no, remember, he's Arab, so he goes to an Arab pastry shop.
I just wanted to get my baklava.
Okay.
What is an Arab pastry? Someone tell us what an Arab pastry is. I don't even know what they're
saying. So, I know baklava is
baklava
Greek.
Is like Eastern European.
Yeah, it's Greek.
Or it might have been like he was eating soup, like blood soup of some sort. Anyways.
Like pig's blood soup?
Not the important part, but he goes off.
It is important. It's like what kind of restaurant did he kill his immigrant family at? I need to know.
He goes off and Black Mask is chilling in a sauna. And then he's like, you'll pay for what you did. And like the steam clears in the sauna and Damien's there. So Black Mask tries to reach for his gun and Damien just pulls the gun out, pops him, and the comic ends there. It's like, no fucking way. He just killed someone. Damien, we're better than this. You just shit. And I'm like, a part of me is sitting there is like, Adam Glass just shit on years of character development. Dick Grayson did not become Batman for this reason.
I'm sorry. Are we suddenly Jason Todd?
Yeah.
Don't use guns.
And then the next issue reveals that, oh no, the Teen Titans aren't operating on Titans Tower. They're operating in the basement of Hall of Justice, and underneath their basement is where they're storing all of their villains. So Black Mask
is
sitting
there. No way
is that
going to turn wrong.
Yeah. And it's like, you're looking around, it's like, okay, Black Mask, okay, Automatopoeia, okay. What the fuck is Atomic Skull doing here? He's a good guy right now.
Did we learn nothing from Metal with Batman keeping the Joker in his basement's basement?
Actually, that didn't go that badly.
Not great, though.
Yeah, there's another Joker unleashed on.
It's not as bad as during Blackest Night. It's like, here are all the graves of all of our fallen superheroes.
Conveniently, one in one little area.
Yeah. All right, moving forward. Overwatch League aiming to add 6 new teams for season 2.
Denver?
Atlanta.
Well, not yet. Yes. So their plan, originally the rumor was they're going to add 8 teams. But now it's been confirmed that they're only going to add 6 teams for season 2.
Is season 1 over?
Yeah, the finals happened.
We talked had about the whole discussion.
I talked about the finals last week.
Oh, God.
The All-Star event's coming up, and then the World Cup starts, which the World Cup actually looks pretty hyped this year. Looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. But
hashtag not my
the
World
two
Cup.
Confirmed teams.
You already had your World Cup.
The two confirmed cities that they're adding teams to are for Atlanta and Guangzhou, China. Which it's not surprising that they want to cash in on China since the market is huge and they need a team that doesn't suck ass.
It's true.
0-40. Never forget. With the worst record of any sports and esports team in history.
The Browns.
No, well, the Browns only went 0-16. They went 0-40.
Look, a zero is a zero.
0-40, though.
I was going to say,
40 matches lost.
If I looked at a test and be like, oh, you got 0 out of 16. You got 0 out of 40. Both Fs. You both suck.
Especially if they're weighted grades, Zach. They both go into the same category of sucking dick.
Of y'all motherfuckers need to change.
Yeah. Some other cities that are rumored are.
Are you going to use that in school?
I want to say they're.
If a kid gets 2 zeros, like these both go in the same category. You suck dick. Mom,
we'll say that part.
My teacher said I suck dick.
Actually, before
well, you do, Timmy.
Before
do.
Every assignment, I tell them what category it goes into and what part percentage of their grade that is, and it scares the shit yeah. out of them.
So you just need to hold in your back pocket. You suck right. dick. Like these both come in the same category. You suck
done,
dick.
You're done fucked up, Aaron.
Mom
dude,
just
Aaron is the American J.
American
in betweeners.
In betweeners. Oh. Like, here's Jay. You know, I love James Buckley. And that's why I'm watching In Betweeners again.
Buckers.
Jay is just like, you know, sexual deviant, kind of a dipshit. And it's like, how do we Americanize this character? You get Aaron, who's, you know, he's a little overweight, and then it acts like a dipshit, and then people are like, man, does this guy have like, this like, why are you stereotyping this person?
Like, why is it in America we have such a fascination with making the guy who always makes the sexual jokes, always makes sexual advances,
and is just a loser,
the fat guy? Why is that the stereotype for like high schools?
Who fucking knows, man.
It's like in Cobra Kai, where like, you know, slightly overweight dude is like, I'm just the hype man. I'm just here.
Yeah, like you have the good-looking athletic guy who's the bully, and then the fat guy who is the
holy
asshole.
Shit. It's Gaston and LeFou.
Oh my god, it is.
They started the trend. Damn you, LeFou.
I love how we got to that from, you know, Overwatch, but...
Look, man, when you suck dick, you just
yeah,
suck dick.
Yeah.
But for real, though...
The other four spots.
Key and Peele has ruined the name Aaron for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was watching a show with my parents, and someone's name came up and says, Aaron, and all I could say in my head was, Aaron. It's like, oh, look, it's Becky and Aaron.
And Balake.
And I can't say it out loud because my parents think I'm crazy. They were like... Yeah, it looks like Aaron's about to lose. Who? Aaron.
Just show him the sketch. Aaron.
We had a kid named John Smith. I feel comfortable saying his name just because there's a million of them. So I called him Dingle McCringleberry.
Dingle McCringleberry. Come on.
You know, this year I have four kids all named Isaiah in my classroom. I'm like, what do you expect me to do? There are four kids. Three of them share the same initial. What do you want me to do?
You need to start assigning them Key and Peele names.
Kringleberry.
Osmatez Buckshank.
All right, Zach.
Squeeps.
Now that we're done with that tangent.
Yeah.
Please call one
other,
of them.
Other rumored places are Seattle. And some I think
they'd be the Space Needles.
I think they want to do like at least two European teams.
Okay.
And then
Seattle depressing weather.
I think another Korean team is planned.
You know, I've always...
Which isn't surprising.
Like, it's so cool to see the theatrics behind the Overwatch League and, like, the minor Overwatch leagues. Like, you know, here's a stage. There's, you know, the two teams on two sides. You have your floating heads in the back. But it's just like, man, you spend so much money flying these people out here. You could just play online.
Well, they're all playing in L.A. right now.
Well, and at the same time, you don't want there to be any doubt that connection came into effect.
That's fair.
Being in, so, because LA to
yeah, the minor league teams
China.
Are played online. So there is an issue with that already. Yeah, I am curious to see, like, what are they going to do when they actually are planning to play locally? Because no fucking way are teams from LA going to fly to Korea for one match a week.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to have the guy who, like, with the obscure Overwatch controls show up, and like it's going to be like a friendship happiness round. Like it just doesn't count. And it's like, all right, this team has a Winston. He has to play with the bananas. This team has like a Widowmaker. So they have to play with the Nerf gun.
A whole team of gimmick people.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's a Reinhardt player.
That'd be a fun show match at like the All-Star event or something.
Like, I just want to see the guy play with bananas or the person playing with the Nerf gun. And then they just turn and start firing at the other team.
Like, oh, my eye! Advantage us.
And then Hanzo.
Yeah, they got the Hanzo, the Nerf bow.
My eye, that's where I keep my
Although,
eye roll.
You know, there are a couple characters that they could do that with because Nerf is putting out Overwatch guns.
That's true.
They announced the Reaper gun, and now they announced... Tracer one. The D.Va gun.
They have
the little D.Va blaster. It has the little keychain and everything from Nerf.
Is it like one of the really shitty Nerf guns that only has like one shot?
I mean, they only show... It doesn't look like it has like the pull-down trigger.
The Nerf balls now?
God, what world do we live in?
I don't know.
They only showed a concept of it, but...
Yeah, you guys don't watch The Node regularly, do you?
No.
They do, like, Rainbow Six Siege with Nerf guns. Like, they just do Airbnb, like, a mansion in California, and then do reenact. Like, it's like, all right, we're going to do Nerf hostage situation, pistols and knives only. And I'm just like, God, I wish fucking I had nerds. Money. I wish I had money to do this. All right. Is that all we had about Overwatch? Yeah. Dude, let's talk about those new Overwatch skins, though.
Have you seen the All-Star event ones?
No.
They look fucking fire. Genji, it's Genji and Tracer because of course it is, but
All-Star.
Genji is a fucking kaiju.
I'm sorry, what?
He's a volcanic kaiju. It's fucking awesome.
You just broke Steve.
And Tracer is like from Atlantis.
But I just bought the Sentai Genji skin.
What is it called?
Just look up Overwatch All-Star
skins. Two new All-Star skins are heading to Overwatch. Fucking goddammit, I need those.
Yeah, look at those, are so fucking cool.
Genji is a fucking dragon.
One of them is Smash Mouth? I'm confused here. What?
All-Star.
But I mean that... Oh, that's...
Yeah, the Genji one
looks Fire King sweet. Genji and Water Goddess Tracer. Fuck. How do I get said skins? The payment model for these skins are not known. They may be added to the standard loot table and remain unlockable via credits, or they may be individually purchasable with real-world money, like other esports skins.
I mean, the All-Star event's in, like, 2 weeks.
But then, they need to stop putting out goddamn skins for Reinhardt.
And then the summer games start, like, this week.
And they're putting a new...
Lucio Ball,
They're putting out a new goddamn Reinhardt skin that's a footballer and not your Gridiron. European football.
Oh, okay, I was confused.
Can we just rename it to Gridiron so we know what people are talking about?
Here in America, we call it football.
Gridiron sounds so cool, though.
Yes, it's the football Reinhardt skin in Harry Kane's shield.
But he's Jordan in full, Pickford. Full on gear.
Who wants to sack Pickford?
Shield, like the part that the shield pops out of, is a goddamn Super Bowl ring. Why, Overwatch? Stop giving me Reinhardt skins.
They can't be stopped.
If only England can be stopped. I'm recovered. Yeah. All right. Moving forward from that, Disney's trying to buy back their Star Wars TV rights.
Which we assume must be live TV rights, because Clone Wars, hello, does that not count or something?
Well, Clone Wars was
a Cartoon Network
Warner.
Rebels was Disney.
Okay.
Sure. So, according to this, Turner Broadcast, a subsidiary of Time Warner, negotiating an 8-year exclusive deal for Star Wars TV rights back in 2016 for a reported $275 million.
Jesus Christ.
Disney has inquired with Turner about buyback, but met resistance and desires financial consideration programming to replace the lost films.
See, what's weird to me is why did they give these up in 2016 when they had bought Star Wars by this point? It's like, why would you do that to yourselves?
Well, I think part of it was that they still, had some of the rights because Cartoon Network was longtime owner of those Star Wars properties. Like, you had the 2008 Clone Wars, you had the CGI Clone Wars series.
But this was a new deal they made.
Or they could have re-upped it.
I guess.
Kind of like how EA does.
But why would you re-up that in 2016?
Because then Disney has to pay with Time Warner licensing.
I guess so. Unless, like, Disney just couldn't get out of it.
The only reason Star Wars Clone Wars is still on Netflix is because Warner still owns it, and then that's why they can't... Well, not only did the toy sales fail, because, you know, toys, and every episode cost $1 million because George Lucas pocketed, or took money out of pocket to make Clone Wars as great as it is, they canceled it so they could do Rebels, and then they developed that team. Because if you notice, the only person that carried over from Clone Wars was Filoni and part of his team. Giancarlo Volpe didn't come back.
Right.
Greg Weisman went for one season and then left. And then, you know.
Yeah, he did the first season, didn't he?
Yep. He helped develop Kanan and a couple of other characters in their backstory. But it's like, at this point, a lot of the what is considered canon Star Wars is still owned by different companies, which is weird. Because yeah. Warner owns all of Clone Wars. Then you have Dark Horse that did...
the Star Wars comics for a
but
while.
Only one of them's canon, and I think it's Dark Disciple, which takes place after Clone Wars, where Dooku and Palpatine are like, fuck, Darth Maul is a problem. We need to go kill him. And they go off and kill the Night Sisters and everything, and that's why, you know, you don't ever see them again. And why Maul goes into isolation and how he gets the Inquisitor lightsaber.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just interesting. I was just like, they didn't... I guess, yeah, it's like, I'm just surprised they weren't able to get that.
Yeah.
Like just how did this deal formulate? Unless it was just like something that was already planned and they couldn't get out of it or didn't want to.
Pretty much.
At the time, at least.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of the new Disney IPs for Star Wars are outside of those other things. Like, you have Resistance now, which takes place in between Force Awakens and Last Jedi. Or not Last Jedi.
Book.
Return of the Jedi. No, it's Dave Filoni's new project that's like semi-cel-shaded anime-esque.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
We talked about it. Dude. All the Star Wars just blends together. Star Wars is great.
Have you guys seen any clips of Dragon Princess?
No.
Dragon Prince, sorry. I forgot like the main character is like the ninja princess or something.
They released a trailer at SDCC.
It's definitely a different design. Like, they're not doing their the Avatar and Korra.
No, it seems like it's the same studio that does Voltron.
Yeah.
I get a very heavy feel from that.
Yeah. Super fluid. I'm interested in the show.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it.
Looks cool. I mean, I've liked what those guys did. Korra had its ups and downs, but I mean, season 3 and 4 were definitely worth watching.
Okay. By TV rights, as a clarification, I found a better article.
Okay.
TV rights means that they are trying to buy back the rights to show the movies on cable networks.
Oh, interesting.
So this means if Disney gets their way, we will no longer be able to watch all 6 Star Wars films on TNT.
So they won't be perpetually rerun forever.
Yeah, they will be put on their stupid streaming service.
Gotcha.
Probably.
Also, rewatching the Dragon Prince trailer, not Voltron, it reminds me of Ruby Seasons 4 and 5.
That's this looks like Genlock style.
Mm-hmm.
Disney also sold the rights to show the films. Because if you think about the Disney shows, we would be watching Star Wars on ABC Family.
I guess that's true.
And it's like, ooh, no, our audience wants to watch all 8 Harry Potter films
over and
all
over
the Christmas movies. We can't have Star Wars.
It's true.
And then the deal includes Star Wars movies released from 1977 and 2005, as well as newer titles.
Okay, so that gives me a completely different outlook of that. I guess that makes sense. It's like, okay, sure, why not?
Talking out of our ass, further research. Let's go.
Instantly clarified ourselves. Good job.
Yeah.
I'm hyped for the Dragon Prince.
It looks cool. Is that a Netflix series?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All episodes September 14th.
Oh, nice.
So a month away.
And you mentioned that, whatchamaface, it's the same people that developed Voltron, right? Same studio?
No.
No.
It's the writer-director who did Avatar Last Airbender.
And Korra.
Brian
DiCommenso or something like that.
And I don't know who the animation studio behind it is.
Pretty sure. Dragon Prince.
Yeah,
right?
Dragon Prince.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it's the same animation studio.
It doesn't look like the same unless they, like...
Yeah, no, it's different animation because, like I said...
It could be another Korean studio because Korea is really hot for animating stuff right now.
Korean animation is so hot right now.
Yeah. Well, I think from what I hear, it's really cheap over there to animate stuff as opposed to Japan.
Yeah, like all of Young Justice gets animated in Korea, and then that's why we had that one weird episode.
All
where
of Korra
Icon was
done
all gray.
Oh, fuck yeah. Jack DeSena is going to be in it. He was the voice of Sokka.
Oh, nice.
I'm trying to find the message. I know Rachel and I talked about this at some point.
Production company is Wonderstorm.
It's animated by DreamWorks in collaboration with Studio MIR, who did the animation for Legend of Korra and Avatar. Okay. Wait, no, that's Voltron.
Voltron and Korra are the same animation studio.
That's where I got confused. Anywho, that's all I have to say. I say nothing. Further on, new Critical Role art book, and it is my turn to turn off and power down into sleep mode.
I mean, not a ton to talk about with it.
It's just going to be art that was done by the community for the second half of the campaign.
Yeah.
So, like, Chroma Conclave. It's like a giant
collection of it.
Yeah. It was pretty much, I guess, curated is the best word for it by Talis and Jaffe and Liam O'Brien. Which
apparently is how, like, why he was, like, losing sleep. And apparently why he made the bad decision and got his character killed.
Yeah, why he and... Like, this, the mental breakdown was from him, like, freaking out. Because he, like, out about even had so the much. Freak out of, like, when my character died, like, shit, I just lost 3 days of work on the book. Because I have to make this character now.
Yeah. I was watching the live Twitch stream when they announced it. And the first comment I saw was, Molly died for this. Just like, oh, man, that's...
And it's also true. Why Liam had to just suddenly go... Like, suddenly went to Yosemite National Park.
Yeah.
Is because he was having a breakdown about the book.
I need to get away.
Just, he was freaking out about everything. So he's like, to the national parks.
It's a good getaway from everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited. Yeah. I want to pick up the first one. And I definitely want to pick up the second one. Like, just the art that the community makes for Critical Role is so fucking good. Yeah.
Like, apparently at Gen Con, they even had, like, a section where people could bring their art and they would display it.
Or full-on prints it.
There was one of Vex that I'm just like, that's fucking gorgeous. I want that so bad. But, yeah. Critical Role is so... It's just so cool now that they're, like, this driving force of, like, the... Like, a new era of storytelling, as Matt keeps, like, calling it.
Yeah, the Critter community... is so great. Like, I posted the picture of the heads that I didn't even draw.
No.
I bought at Comic-Con and hung them up in a fancy way on the mantle. Some of them are crooked still, and I think that got like 172 likes just for the fact that it was Critical Role. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I love this community.
You guys are so great. Like, it's one of the few communities I don't see like a ton of negativity in. No. Like, there's a few like people of like. There's a few bad eggs every now and again.
There was like, the vocal minority about like the keg thing when Ashley first came on.
It feels like people came around.
Yeah, that diffused after like everyone's like, chill the fuck out. Like, she played to her character. It's a game. Calm the fuck down. And then I think from there, just kind of pulled back. I think Matt coming out and saying like, you guys need to stop. It's like, I'm... It's
Papa like, Matt is here.
Yeah, like... Yes, the minority was getting pissed off at me. Whatever. I'm going to keep doing my job. The majority of people like it. If you don't like it,
sorry.
Piss off. And nothing else happened after that.
Like, even in like some of the discussion threads, it's very... Everybody's very polite and just like, yeah, it's like, here's my thoughts. It's like, well, yeah, that could be true, but there's also this, also this detail you're missing.
Well, and like, there wasn't like the... announcement that Ashley Burch no longer be doing Mayuri for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I was scrolling through the comments and one of them, they weren't directly blaming Critical Role, but someone was like, man, it's probably because she's doing all this work on Critical Role. And I was like, hold your horses there. She's on it for one more episode, so don't go blaming the show.
Yeah.
Plus it said she has to cancel due to like personal reasons.
Yeah. I honestly thought it was like, is she joining Critical Role for a longer time then? Is that what this means?
But I thought so too, but and then that kind of went away after I saw on Twitter that Travis posted like 1 week more. So I think they are coming back next week.
That's what like, I'm thinking. Maybe not Ashley, but unless I don't know. Maybe
spoilers for those of you who have like minor spoilers. I'm not going to say names or anything, but it seems like they're working things back into the story.
Well, I mean, yeah, they kind of
like the way the episode worked. Like, it seems like, if anything, one more episode, people will be away,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll come back, hopefully.
Yeah.
Maybe have a little baby Ronan in there.
Potentially.
Make him roll dice.
Yeah.
He could pre-roll all of Laura's dice.
He's cursed as well.
He's inherited the Will Wheaton curse.
Yeah, it's have a Geek and Sundry exorcism.
Well,
just a Critical Role exorcism now.
The last exorcism they had was Kari Payton destroying a dice that Will Wheaton touched. Like, rubber gloves, put the dice on the floor, took a hammer, right, destroyed it. That's how bad the Curse of Will Wheaton is.
Yeah, I think they did something similar in like Power Rangers Hyperforce, where Marv just kept rolling badly, so he started taking other people's dice to roll.
Well, it's like Laura, how she has her giant bag of like 10,000 dice.
Actual dice jail.
Yeah, she built a little thing that has a sign that says dice jail. Whenever a dice rolls poorly consistently, it goes in the dice jail, where it can think about what it's done.
Yeah. And then you have Ashley Birch, who's like the reverse Wheaton, where she when she needs to roll a natural 20, she does.
And it's like they were trying to do a stealth check, rolled natural 20. It's like, your armor gives you disadvantage. Oh, like, natural 20.
It's like, what?
Fuck you.
Man, neat.
Such a great, just a great show. I'm so invested in it.
It helps that all the people are the greatest people ever.
Sam Riegel and Matt are, like, God, this episode with the fucking shirts. I'm just like, Matt, oh my God, got
his revenge, because you never saw the Matt shirt.
No, I've seen a couple. I've seen, like, the pointing one.
Yeah. Do you know how that spawned out?
I don't know the original. I've seen the, like, Sam of Sam.
Well, yeah, that was from the opening. Like, right after that opening came out, Sam printed off a shirt of him doing the Scanlan crotch thunder from the opening, and then he took a picture of him with that doing the scream, and then printed that on a shirt,
and then
did the scream on that. That went on a shirt, and it went like 7 layers deep. But the Matt, like, pointing and going, oh, was like they were doing a cold opening, and they were like imitating someone, and the internet, God bless them, screen capped Matt doing that, and Sam turned that into a shirt that, like, just mid episode, he's like, I want to inspire everyone. Took off his overshirt and had that, and then made 8x10s of it, put one on the bottom of his giant mug, so every time he drank, it was looking right at Matt.
It's kind of like how people at
apparently Liam's the one who made this one and gave it to Matt.
It was his revenge.
Sorry, you were saying?
Oh, no, there's a guy at RTX who every year gets a signing with Blaine and wants Blaine to carry him, and he's gone, and he makes a flag of it every time, so it just goes deeper and deeper.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's some really hardcore RTX FOMO.
Yeah, this year just looks so fucking good.
I can't remember who it was we were listening to, like, Off Topic or something, where they were talking about people that when you meet them, you freak the fuck out, don't know what to say. Like, my first one was Chris Sabat. I met him, no fucking clue what to say. I was so nervous, and he gave me the All Might voice, and my heart went a flutter. I was like, this guy's great. Matt Mercer is the next person on my list that I think if I meet him, that will happen, because he is such a great person.
I just want to hug Travis.
And I'm so excited so much for his next fireside chat. He did one at the first campaign.
It's Tuesday? Mm-hmm. So when this is out?
Like, the first campaign where he answered all sorts of questions, and there was one that got super, super deep. Like, because have you gotten to Terry in your watching a season one?
I don't think so.
Well, when they introduced Terry, Sam's new character, it turned out that he was gay. Some people in the community didn't like how the revelation of him being gay came out. Like, they kind of saw it as playing it off as a joke. And Matt just went into, like, some super deep, like, getting real about, like that was never their intention and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And watching the movie, I'm like, I love this man so much.
Yeah,
like, he's just
like a genuinely
the best
good
human being.
They're all just genuinely good people, and that's what I love. And I've just grown to love all of them so much. It's like, I already like Lauren Travis, and that's kind of what drew me into the show, and Matt. But it's like, I barely knew who Sam Riegel and Marisha were, but I've just, even Taliesin, I'm like, who the fuck is this guy?
Little did I know when I first started watching. Have you ever seen Mr. Mom? Mm,
yeah. Oh, yeah, he's the
little blonde kid who has the blanket, the whoopee. That is Taliesin Jaffe.
It's like, I love them so much. Like, they do this for us, and it's just so great to watch them.
Exactly. That is kind of what drew me to it, too, is, like, going over, like, I can't remember what drew me to it. Like, what made me see the description of it. But it was like, Laura Bailey, Travis Willingham, Matt Mercer, Sam Riegel. I'm like, so you're telling me that Lust, Roy Mustang, Gaara of the Sand, Flynn from Tales of Vesperia all play D&D. Why has this not been in my life?
Yes. Has there been fan art of that? Like Gar of the Sand rules with the sand coming sadly. Out of his back?
I don't know why people haven't drawn like their anime characters around the table. Internet, come on. Get on
Where
it.
Where are you at?
It's not as hardcore as the Rooster Teeth fandom. It's like, oh, look, it's the Always Open panel. And then they immediately draw all the Ruby characters sitting in the Always Open stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhoozles.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say they're not as intense. Where as soon as like the minute the description of Taliesin's new character came out, there was like 50,000 fan arts of him on.
Well, I didn't say intense. Twitter. I just said hardcore. It's like
I mean, that's pretty.
They look at the voice actor and it's like no character.
Or when Ronan was born, there were so many fan arts of Jester and Ford with a baby tiefling half orc combination.
Yeah, so speaking of D&D,
green tiefling.
Yes. I'm sad to announce that I wasn't able to contribute to the Dungeons and Doggos Kickstarter.
Oh,
by the time I got paid, the Kickstarter ended. But sad give day. Me a breed of dog,
corgi.
Oh God, is there an actual corgi character?
There, yeah, there is.
Yeah, Tobias the Corgi Warlock. Give me another dog.
Bernese Mountain Dog.
Oh, that's actually one too. Now that's a Mastiff. Bernese Mountain Dog.
Pretty sure there's a Bernese Mountain Dog on there.
No, there's a Saint Bernard.
Australian Shepherd.
They have a German Shepherd.
Sure,
go for Freya, the German Shepherd Druid.
Golden Lab.
Golden Retriever. Cornelius, the Golden Retriever Wizard.
All right. I'll
Flint, the Cow Dog Ranger.
Okay.
Cerise, the Saint Bernard Cleric. Cassandra, the Husky Paladin.
I mean, of course, the Saint Bernard's got to be a cleric.
Yeah. Hartley, the French Bulldog Fighter. Montaigne, the Cocker Spaniel Bard.
Pomeranian.
Morgaine, the Dashmond Sorcerer. Lana.
Wiener Dog. Dachshund.
Sorry.
The Wiener Dog?
Yeah. Svetlana, the Beagle Barbarian. Nightingale, the Pomeranian Monk. Tedric, the Chihuahua
Rogue. All right. Hold the fuck up. You go tell me a Pomeranian is a monk. You know Pomeranians, right?
Well, yeah, they always think they're bigger than they are.
Yeah, they're little shits. And they have no right to be as proud as they are.
And then the Kickstarter exclusive was Tonka, the Mastiff Bard. For those of you that don't know, Dungeons and Doggos is a ongoing online comic. They had a Kickstarter where they had their miniatures, and they also released like an adventure for it. I missed it. So I really hope they run the miniatures on sale afterwards.
Yeah, they might do another wave or something.
Yeah, it was like 35 for 13 minis and then like £7 shipping.
Which isn't bad.
Yeah. That was really sad.
I think it's Steamforge is also doing those. Same group that's doing the crit roll ones.
Yeah.
They do good work. They do goo.
Yeah. I really want to play a Star Wars RPG, by the way. Kayla does one every Sunday. They do it on their breaks from D&D. So they finish one campaign, like done. Mm-hmm. And then they started playing Star Wars afterwards.
What about Dun-Dun-Dun?
Dun-Dun-Dun. Dun-Dun-Dun and Dragons. Dur-dur-dur.
All right, so we'll take a Monday off. We'll go up there on a Sunday. Do some Star Wars RPG.
Yeah, that'd be great. Anyways, last thing on the docket.
Two things
on the docket. Oh, yeah. Minecraft movie delayed as Rob McElhenney drops out as director.
Whatever shall we do?
Oh, no.
That the Minecraft movie is delayed.
Dude, so like we're at the height of Fortnite. Actually, last year, a few months ago, was probably the height of Fortnite.
No, it's still the height of
Fortnite. No, it's still like strong. Hype. There's nothing to take its crown away. But I feel like we missed the height. Or the height has come and passed.
No.
Like
now that they've got like their summer show or summer.
Oh yeah, they're
what they call them. It's summer something.
Showdown.
No.
Slam down.
No.
Shaolin Showdown.
Yes.
Okay.
They're trying to get the Shangong Wu.
But like, so I mentioned, so my students during like their 8th grade graduation are all talking, and it's like their Fortnite strats and like their building.
Summer skirmish.
Because they all play on Xbox and PS4 and they'll never play together. And they're like, I'm like, you guys are such nerds. It's like, yeah, what do you play? Minecraft. And they started like trying to make fun of me. Like, they're like, oh, you play Minecraft. You're probably running around with your level or your diamond enchanted arm. I'm like, no, I just like playing Minecraft because it's relaxing.
So I like mining things and building things. Like, I tried explaining like why I love Minecraft to my boss. I was like, it's just
Legos.
It's relaxing. It's, you have the nice, gentle music. You go around, you mine things, you build whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, so these eighth graders are trying to bully me. And they're like going up to me. It's like, oh, you probably play like the Hunger Games competitive mode. I'm like,
no.
You do realize like Minecraft did that first. Like, in terms of video games, Minecraft did Fortnite first.
Technically, H1Z1 did it first. But everybody forgot about that. It was a mod. And then they tried to implement it themselves, and it was way too late.
Dude, King of the Kill. It's coming out eventually.
Yeah, maybe.
We saw that at RTX 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Not a big thing
about it. It was a big deal for it, for a moment.
Yeah. And then it got split into two games because it was just too massive, mm-hmm. according to them.
And they made the car battle royale mode.
Which is actually kind of fun, I'm just going to say.
It doesn't.
It's Mad Max.
It doesn't look that fun.
Anyways, so like, we're not, and granted, everyone and their mother probably has Minecraft installed on something still. I feel like the Minecraft movie, the concept of that has come and gone.
I hope so. I don't think we need this.
I think it.
We didn't need the Lego movie, Zach.
No, but I'm glad it exists.
Yeah, the Minecraft movie could have been something just as great.
But we have a Rob McElhenney, it sure could have been great.
And now they're just going to get Christopher Lord or Lord and Miller to go do that one too.
Why not?
Christopher Lord and Phil Miller? Or Phil Miller and Christopher Lord? Something around. But yeah, Rob McElhenney is dropped. And the movie is no longer slated to arrive in May 2019.
Oh, no. It's like the fact that Guardians 3 got delayed. It's like, oh, no, no shit. I wonder why.
Guardians 3?
Yeah, Guardians 3 is also delayed.
Right.
It's like,
you can't move forward without a director.
I know, it's weird, and people are trying to get him back, but I don't know what's going to happen.
Disney has come out and said they're not going to rehire him for Guardians 3, which means they might rehire him for another project, but he's not getting rehired for Guardians 3.
Yeah, I can't wait until James Gunn makes his own like independent film again, even though he's probably blacklisted right now.
Did he ever announce the Berserk movie?
No, he didn't.
That was a fucking tease.
Well, no, he was going to... In theory, he was going to announce it at the Sony panel.
And then that's when shit came down.
Yeah, when the shit came down, he got fired, and then he was taken off of the Sony panel.
Oh.
So I think he just took the time to be like...
He's probably going to get axed from that, too.
Well, no, I'm assuming he's just taking, like... He's worked it out to where he's going to step back, let everything kind of work itself out.
He's probably at a national park right now.
Yeah, probably at Yosemite. But he's probably just going to work it out and then come out and be like, hey... Here's this new project.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to, if he's not blacklisted from Hollywood right now, he's going to come out, do a new movie. They're going to give him a big budget.
I don't think he's going to
get like his crew.
It's not like he actually did anything. He just made really bad jokes.
At the same time, it's like you don't want to be associated with that as
sure,
a studio.
But
we're also talking the studio that 30, 40 years ago released incredibly racist cartoons with Song of the South.
Oh, yeah. Did you see those tweets?
Yeah.
Not the Song of the South one, but like I think I was reading them to you, but it's like a guy on Twitter after all the James Gunn stuff went down where he, as a Disney exec, started firing characters from their films.
Yeah, that's right. You read me that tweet. Yeah, it's like...
What?
The whole situation is stupid. Yes,
yeah,
the comments were not...
But he acknowledges it, like, yeah, I've grown from that. I would not make those jokes again.
Does he acknowledge that? People he's worked with acknowledge that's not the James Gunn they know. That is not the person they've worked with for all these years.
Yeah, I'm honestly, like, worried. Like, if this is the world we live in where people will get fired for something they said fucking 10 years ago, it's like, where's the line? Like, it's not like, and he keeps making, he made like a billion of these and he still does.
Yeah, and that's like, he didn't go out and like retweet them 10 years later. He didn't go out and show them to people. Someone
went and found them.
We can easily assume is from the party that he speaks out against frequently.
Yeah, it's just
went out and hunted these tweets.
It's just
down.
Mudslinging constantly against everyone.
It's like, yeah,
it's exhausting.
We've all said some fucked up shit in our lives. We still say fucked up shit in our lives. That's not who we are deep down.
You grow though. As a person.
Some people,
yeah.
Yes.
It's like, how did we got to measure, like, take into account growth.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a shame. And what was it? I was going to say Charlie Sheen currently believes he's blacklisted, but Charlie Sheen went off the deep end.
Yeah.
But Chris Eccleston.
Christopher Eccleston. He's
blacklisted
over.
From
really?
The British film industry.
Just because he's talked shit about a lot of projects he's done. Mm-hmm. Like, he talked shit about when he was Doctor Who. He's talked massive shit about when he was Malachor.
Yeah.
And the Dark Thor. Elf. Yeah. And Thor. Mm-hmm. He's essentially blacklisted himself because he can't shut the fuck up about if he worked on a project he wasn't a fan of.
Yeah. And that's like, he was asked to return as the Ninth Doctor the 50th, and then just was like, nah.
No, fuck that. I didn't, like, I hated the role and everything. It's like, cool. How about keep that thought inside?
It's such a shame, too, because, like, to certain people, he's their doctor.
Yeah. I say, like, my coworker, he just started watching Doctor Who. He keeps saying he loves Christopher Eccleston more than David Tennant.
Fucking
which,
wow.
He's fucking wrong.
Yeah, he's wrong about that one.
But he's one of those people where that's his doctor. That's his favorite doctor. He's fucking wrong.
Yeah.
But
that was a weird tangent, but I felt like we never really talked about that. But
just because it was the taboo subject of the things were still being.
It's like now that we've seen everything, yeah. Like some fallout.
The Guardians cast has all come out and said, hey, we're in support of this. And if I were like a Disney exec at that point, it's just like, well, Guardians 3 is canceled.
Yeah. Like the whole cast put out a note defending James Gunn, all signed it. Selma Hayek came out and supported him, saying he is one of the greatest people she knows in Hollywood because he pretty much talked her into coming forward during the Me Too movement. Like, she wasn't going to come forward. She wasn't going to say anything. But James Gunn was the one who kind of helped her come forward, and she loves him for it. It's like, how the fuck are you going to fire that guy over a tweet from 10 years ago? That
meanwhile, G still hired Johnny Depp, who's been proven to be a shitbag.
And he was on stage with his former wife that he allegedly beat.
And Amber Heard, what went on after him.
But that's to say something different. For I keep
so
looking at your
so
phone
up.
And I think it's the goddamn Zoom logo. And I'm so goddamn nostalgic for it. Stop.
As the one person in all of Colorado that had a Zoom.
There were like three of us.
Anyway, to close out the show, hang on. Let me get the timestamp.
Is it another Himtusky?
It is another Himtusky. He's back. Hey, you're not wrong.
It's the same color
scheme. First, I'm going to start with...
Throwing a couple lines there, and it's Critical Role. Okay?
First, I'm going to start with his comment. Hey, Zach B., have you taken your Lord and Savior's power rangers into your heart? Are you prepared for the eternal damnation that awaits your unmorph soul? Praise be to Zordon.
Ay. That's Alpha.
Ay.
But hast thou?
No.
Hast
no,
thou accepted our Lord?
Okay, if anything.
I've accepted that you're going to keep talking about it, and
here's
I've just accepted that.
You don't need to watch a single show. I want you to try to watch the board game show, though. Hyperforce.
I already have so. I'm.
See,
I have
no,
too many board game shows.
Even the board game show. Read the comic.
Yeah, the comic's so
give
boss of the wall crazy.
Give the comic a couple issues, and you will see the glory of the Power Rangers comic.
Even Steve and I were talking about this. Spoilers for Go-Go Power Rangers 12. Steve read it, and we're sitting there talking about it. Like, at one point, the future Kimberly comes down with her Gravezord, and it's like, all right, you're getting your shit rocked by these two monsters. Mega Gravezord, like... It combines with their present day Zord.
We will show you the image.
So,
it is so badass.
What series is Marguerite Bennett taking over?
Power Rangers. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
And you might need some info from Shattered Grid, but that's we talk about constantly. But it's really cool. And then it's like, Steve was like, yeah, go, go. It's supposed to be like them in high school right after they get their powers and be like, oh, look at us. How do we do like, our secret identity and everything else? Well, Jason's dad has cancer. Kimberly's parents are getting divorced.
I'll say, like, reading, when I first read like the prelude Go-Go Power Rangers issue where it's like, oh, Kimberly's dad is getting married to his girlfriend after getting divorced. Oh, Jason's dad has cancer, maybe. Oh, people are dying. What's that? Goldar just slashed his hand, and now his blade is dripping with blood while he's pledging his allegiance to Rita. What the fuck happened?
Like, this is, like, Kyle Higgins even said, it's like, yes, this is Power Rangers, but this is my timeline. When he first came onto the series.
Darkest timeline.
Jason's dad has fucking cancer. Like, that was a goddamn curveball. They don't even have that in the regular series, which I can only assume Jason's dad's either going through chemo in the regular series or he's dead.
But, you know, I didn't think about why we never see the parents.
Yeah. But Go-Go, it's like you see Jason's dad on the phone and Jason's listening, and as it's reading your context clues of that, he's got terminal cancer and he won't tell his family.
And Jason goes to Zordon. It's like, is there anything you can do to help my father? And Zordon's like, fuck no, bitch.
He's like, no, we can't do that. And he's like, okay, my dad will just have to die. Like,
Jesus.
This is supposed to be the Breakfast Club.
Yeah. So
I'm
like,
mostly waiting for like a lot of new Image series that are coming out in October. Like Dead Kings, Blackbird looks interesting. Invisible
bear
Kingdom.
Mech.
Goddamn bear mech. I'm so
glad. It's a fucking Megazord Gundam fighting a bear mech. Why did you put that evil on me? Because I need it.
Yeah, the comic is just really well written. Like, Kyle Higgins being Kyle Higgins.
Like, it, if you kind of separate the corniness of the Power Rangers and see it as kind of like a superhero action comic, it helps a little bit.
Sure.
Because you have to take away. Because I went into reading it expecting the campiness. Fuck was I in for a surprise.
It's campy when they do like annuals and other writers take over, because it's like, oh, here's the fun issue that doesn't actually matter. And then you have the Trial of Astronema. It's like, wow, this is really heavy. You're making a character from the Innocent Kids show go on trial for her actions as a giant galactic crime lord who killed a Power Ranger, even though she redeemed herself and became one. And the girl got better, but that doesn't excuse the fact that she committed genocide.
And then they have the fun issue, or the fun part in the first annual, where it's like Zack's having a crisis, but then suddenly all of the versions of the Mighty Morphin Black Power Rangers show
up. None of them are him.
Well, no,
they're all Adam.
One of them. The pink
one
series
is Zack.
Is. One is Zack, the rest are Adam. And then you have the other issue, where they have Finster, the funny little animal creature that makes Rita's monsters. Oh, turns out he murdered his wife.
And he keeps trying to remake her because he wants to capture their love.
That's why he started making monsters, was to try and bring her back to life, but all he could create were monstrosities. So then Rita created him. This the Power Rangers, you know?
No.
Yeah,
no cheese.
So yeah, there is no cheese. So like the comic is a really well-told drama action story. And then Hyper Force is like kind of some of the campy stuff, but it's a tabletop board game where they just go crazy. Like,
they go crazy.
Christina V, you know, Sailor Mars, and a bunch of other characters. She's Ophelia. Yeah, she's Ophelia and Octopath. She embraces the fact that she's an android, and she's like, all the other robots are out to get me because I'm half human. I don't trust Alpha. And she wakes up one day with a mechanical arm, and she swears to God that Alpha took her other arm because he was jealous. And it's just like, huh, that's kind of funny. Huh. Or when they travel with Santa. Or the Knights of the Round Table.
Knights of the Round Table, and Guinevere gives one of them a battleizer.
Anyway, he also writes Gundam vs. Jaegers, fantasy fight. How badass would it be to see a mecha level bar fight? Doesn't matter who comes out on top, the audience would be the real winners.
The Gundams would win.
Jaegers are too slow.
But at the same time, it would be like a human fighting a mosquito, but give the mosquito bazookas, laser swords, jet boosters,
giant lock-on. Yeah, lock-on fins. That shoot other lasers.
So like funnels.
Funnels,
there's
sorry.
A technical term.
I forgot they were funnels.
The closest,
or dragoons, sir.
The closest that would come to a Jaeger would probably be like Big Zam. But even then, you're probably like getting up to part of the shin on a Jaeger with Big Zam.
No, Psycho Gundam.
Big Zam's bigger.
No, but I mean, Psycho Gundam as like the mobile fortress transforming into an actual Gundam is kind of like the closest representation we got.
Granted,
because it was also made from
Jaegers
Gundanium.
Are meant to look big, but are they actually bigger than a Gundam?
Yes.
There's
a Gundam
actual,
is about the size of their ankle.
That's what? Why I said it's like a mosquito. There's an actual like size comparison chart of like someone took the official sizes of like all of the mechs and Jaegers.
But yeah, I mean.
Yeah, Freedom's
freaking
the
double,
tallest.
Double row riser against Gypsy Danger? No. Gypsy Danger's just done immediately.
Or even Gypsy Avenger.
Yeah, they're both done there.
Like, it's... I you know, as much as Tim says the audience, him, Tusky, him says Tusky. The audience would win, I'm just like, no, it's
no,
not
the
a fight.
The Gundams would just...
Well, there would be like, oh no, I got swatted by the Jaeger. I need to upgrade because that's what happens during all Gundams in the half season. And it's like, even if it's RX-78-2 versus Gypsy Danger, he gets the full armor mode or he becomes a new Gundam halfway through.
Also, the Gundams have guns. Jaegers do not have guns.
They have lasers.
But very slow lasers.
Bracer Phoenix has
Tommy
guns.
Bracer Phoenix. You didn't watch Uprising, but there's a 3-man Jaeger. So they... Two of them are pilots, and then the third person drops down into the chest and has two giants...
Like two turret guns come
out. Yeah. And so, it's like, oh no, the Jaeger's behind us. The stomach just turns around and the guns rotate. I'm like, that's so fucking stupid. So I love it.
A version of it. So there's a Gundam, an Angel, compared to...
An Ava.
Yeah, compared to... Wow,
yeah, Ava's
Gypsy
a fucking
Danger.
Big.
Yeah.
Good
so,
lord, though.
A Gundam... Pretty small.
In Freedom, I think the chair that C was trying to find shows like Freedom, which is one of the tallest. No, not Gundam to Jafar. Let's talk about that battle. Who would win? It's Jafar, right? Yeah, I can't find it. Apparently there's a Jaeger Gundam, and that's all that's popping up now.
But,
yeah.
There you go.
Also, last thing. Because it's close to my bedtime. We watched the first episode of Magical Girl Raising Project.
They're all going
to
die.
No.
All of them. Only half of them.
Because they don't have enough mana to support all the magical girls, Zach.
The whole plot just seems a little weird. Like, they intentionally added too many. It's like, okay, yeah, we're fine. Let's add more. Yes. Next, the immediate same episode. Not even within a day. Oh hey, we got a we got too many.
No, there's
now.
More
Sorry.
Than a day. They were Snow White was gone for like a month at that point.
Really?
Yeah. No. Actually, no. Yeah.
Did they time skip?
No, yeah,
and I didn't
no,
notice.
They did mention like it was a quick little mention of I've been doing this for about a month now and
she has the top score on the leaderboard.
Yeah, because she's been getting all of them.
And that, so that's why she met all of them and then met her friend, because of course that was going to happen.
Yeah.
The boy who became a magical girl.
My
Suck it,
he's gonna die.
Away.
He's so dead. He's gonna die, and she's gonna watch it happen.
It'll be them finally accepting their relationship. They're gonna love each other, and then he's gonna die, and she's gonna go on a psychotic rampage.
It's been so long since I watched it in sub. I just don't remember what happened.
Death happens.
It's another Madoka.
Death.
Except
from
now
above.
The twist is immediate.
Exactly. I first meant, like, when we finished the first episode, I was like, you know, if I didn't know the premise deep down, I would think this would be, like, a normal magical girl anime. But then I remembered the first scene where it's one magical girl in a room of dead, bloody bodies. And I'm like, you know what? Never mind.
But that was in the game. But if you die in real life,
you
die
in
real life.
If you die in the game, you die for real. Still love that Crunchyroll made that a fucking genre for like a day.
I never forget Frankie Muniz helped us establish that. He was in that movie.
Was he really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the where they're all in the Haunted Mansion and they're having a LAN party and you have to throw the roses to get the ghosts to dispel.
Huh.
And then he became an F1 driver and got so concussed he doesn't remember filming Malcolm in the Middle. So
he rewatches it because he doesn't remember what it was like filming the show.
Damn. Sucks. Anyways, thank you guys for listening to a brand new episode of the CT Podcast. If you like us, please head over to iTunes, Google Play, or any other website. and you can review us and make us little happy boys. And then if you make us little happy boys, you can also share it, because if you tell a friend and a friend tells a friend and then that friend tells two friends, we can start a pyramid scheme.
That joke never gets old.
That's always. I haven't brought that one out for a while.
That's always what it is.
Yeah. So share us. We like it. We like talking to people. You can also reach us using Facebook, Twitter, or
z2podcast.com/comment.
And
like
we,
Tim Tusky does.
Yeah. And you can come out.
Whoever that mystery man might
I know.
Be.
Who could it be?
It's like Tuxedo Mask. You did nothing.
Goodbye.
My work here is done.
You did nothing. Farewell.
Like, okay, Hal Jordan, I can accept the fact that the mask covers something, but, like, any of the Sailor Scouts, like, you have to be pissed drunk not recognizing. The Magical Girl Raising Project did the perfect thing. It's like, you help someone, and then your mana makes them forget, and all photos of you are instantly blurry. And I'm like...
unless you so choose, no one will know who you are.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you guys for listening. Send us your questions, send us your comments, tell us what anime we should watch, and tell us the best way to get Zach to do a Power Ranger. Bye, internet. Love you.
Okay, bye.
To do a Power Ranger, like, sexually?